working. Okay, I see there's some speakers in front of me. There's a screen here. Dan is there. He's looking at me. He looks confused.
Jared, I'm not one to step on your toes, but we're trying to host a show here.
I am hosting the show. This is what a podcast is.
The Indie Film Review.
Yeah, you go around and you film things on your phone and you describe what's going on. That's what a podcast is, Dan. Come on, get with the times.
Oh, so we've been doing it wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. And as our new social media guru, I've declared myself, this is the way of things and this is the future.
Are there drugs in the future?
That's right, dude. We're going to ride that blue wave. Woo!
Going to ride that G all the way to G-Spot Town. Yeah.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Waiting for the other shoe to drop on that one. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Indie Film Review. I'm Jared. That's Dan. Hey, Dan.
Hi, Dan. I mean, Jared. I mean,
what?
Who are you?
I've done that before, too. It's so strange how when someone throws, like, a simple thing to you, and you totally, your brain just flips it backwards. I swear I've done this before on the show. So we watch independent films here. That's what we do. And today we watched a film called Dust Nuggets.
Dust Nougat.
That's right. That's right. Dan, could you tell us a little bit about Dust Nuggets?
Okay. Dust Nuggets is about a 30-something music manager who is managing a band that is, we'll say, subpar. And everybody somehow loves them. They go viral, essentially. And it's this woman's story about how she wanted to become famous because her best friend became famous. So the only way that she knew how to do that, because she was not a triple threat, she could not sing, dance, or act, that she's going to manage somebody who can. So she decides to manage a band. And she gets all this information from a child's book about managing a band.
Very strange. Very strange movie. This movie was rough for me, Dan. This is a rough film to watch.
It was half rough for me and half not rough for me.
So, Dan, let's do some questions.
Yes, please.
How did you feel about the direction this movie went?
I'm not super concerned about the direction. Like, it was strange. The narrative was unique in that regard. I didn't necessarily see where it was going. And some of the events that happen, or some of the events that transpire, were kind of hard to follow.
Mm-hmm.
And I was confused at some times. But that wasn't the thing that turned me off about the film.
Okay. What was the thing that turned you off about the film?
A lot of the time, the acting was pretty rough.
Yeah.
They were doing very well because some scenes worked really well, but sometimes that just, like, it was just too many people, like, missing beats, and it fell apart very quickly in a lot of the scenes.
I think this movie is kind of broken up into, like, different sections. We have, like, this plucky comedy about a girl trying to start up a band as a band manager. Then we have this, like, horror of the spiral into drugs and, like, people dying and this like, just, like, darkness type of side to it. And then we have this, like, kids movie about, like, these two girls, like, hanging out together and having fun. And it's just, all those are just kind of sporadically mixed in together. So I wanted to know, like, which one of those did you enjoy the most?
I wouldn't even say that they're all sporadically mixed in together. That's why I like the narrative in a way.
Okay.
Because the way in which they're interwoven is interesting. And it keeps you, not guessing, but it keeps you engaged. Like, you're following the mind of this woman named KK, or Chris.
Yeah.
Right? So you are, she's your anchor point to the entire narrative, and it flashes back to her childhood. It goes into, you know, her present, and it goes into her days of future past, I guess. I don't know how to
X-Men.
I don't know what to call it, but basically there are two present selves that we'll talk about whenever we get into spoilers. So whenever we're thinking about what my favorite part was, I really liked the marriage between the two stories of the childhood and where she is currently. Like how she still has that relationship with her childhood best friend, and they just can't reconcile it because they're both too busy for each other.
Yeah, so there is a huge conflict between these two girls. They're growing up, and one is starting to get really famous because she's good at singing and acting, and the other's very jealous, but also supportive of her friend.
Yes.
And then later on, as their lives progress and stuff, the tables kind of turn, where she is now famous with her band, and then the girl is kind of on the lower end. Her career's not doing so well. I honestly thought they should have played more with that, mm-hmm. and actually had an actor represent that girl and like have them meet. And I don't know, I feel like that was the strongest conflict in the movie. And a lot of that was relegated to like a one-sided phone call, which was a little annoying to me.
So it's like the narrative has spirit and it has something to hold on to, but it's holding its cards too tight. It's not letting us, you know, see the whole...
Mm-hmm.
That might have been budget constraints, honestly.
Yeah, you're right. That definitely could be. Dan, do you have a question for me?
How did you like the band?
Oh boy, the band might be the worst part of the movie.
I think that might be on purpose.
Is it? Because...
Tell me why.
So the band can't play instruments. I don't think they know at all how to be a band.
Well, no, they do know how to play instruments.
Every time they're about to perform, they just cut away.
Yeah.
It's a nightmare. And the three characters, there's Jolson, Molson, and
Olson.
Yeah. And there's so much of this that's played as like a joke. There's so many scenes with them that are supposed to be funny, like them like dorking around and being silly and willy. But it comes off more as just annoying,
mm-hmm.
especially the drummer. The drummer is a nightmare. I don't know what's going on with this drummer character.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the drummer specifically and how you felt about him.
I think he is the weakest part of this movie, unfortunately. I could not stand to see him on screen.
Well, okay, now here's the deal. I think he was just not written very well. Like, he got all the shitty jokes to tell, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Well, his character is designed to hate and not want to do whatever the main character wants to do. Whatever she says, he's like, I won't do this. I'm like, why is he even in the band?
Exactly. This being said, I feel like they were really trying to play up the different dynamics of a band. Like, how everybody might be a prima donna. You have the prima donna drummer. You have the shitty social media person who thinks everybody cares about the band. And then you have the guy who just shows up and stares until he's called on.
Here's where this character lost me. And maybe if they would have explained it more, I could have accepted, like, okay, this guy's kind of like a sleazy dude. But, like, everyone treats him as like, hey, he's kind of like, we're friends, ahaha. But here's my note. The drummer sucks. He hates everything. He won't play with a girl. He won't play at a foundry. He won't play for exposure. He doesn't want money, fame, or fans. So I'm like, what does this guy want? I think the only thing that he actually wanted was that one girl to sleep with him.
He wanted to be in the movie.
Yeah, he wanted to be in the he wanted that one girl to have sex with him. I think that was it. Everything else he disagrees with constantly. Why would you not want a girl in your band? That was like the one thing I'm like, fuck this guy. What is the point of this scene? Is this played for laughs? I don't get it.
Jared, I have a second question, but the second question is going to have to propel us into spoiler territory.
Okay, yeah, let's do spoilers. So we're going to do spoilers now. If you want to see this movie, I believe Amazon Prime it's on.
Support indie film, watch it anyway,
yeah.
And listen to our review. Here's my initial beef with the film.
Okay.
And tell me if you agree. Do you think that this film would have been better if it maintained being a musical?
Oh my god. Okay.
Because you start with a fucking musical number and you're like, okay, I'll fucking watch a musical.
The intro is like so good. So it's her, the main character has OD'd. She's getting taken into an ambulance. And then the nurse becomes some like weird, like spirit guide figure inside of her mind.
Mm-hmm.
And she gets transported to an airplane and the nurse becomes a stewardess. And the nurse is probably the best character in the movie.
Yeah.
She's wonderful. And she starts singing to her basically everything that's going on, which I kind of didn't like. I didn't like that the nurse lady is literally telling her, You're in a dream and you have to decide if you're going to live or die during this overdose.
Well, sometimes musicals are campy and stupid like that, so I accepted it. Like, I'm like, this is going to be a fun, rompy musical, and then we don't get any more musical numbers. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, this is a perfect narrative for musical numbers.
The film is about a band.
Exactly.
Exactly. What the fuck? Yeah, how great would this have been if they actually had really good musical numbers? Even if it was just of the quality of that first song, I would have been totally in. Exactly.
Like, I did not mind the quality of the first song. And plus, that I feel like would have made the rest of the film more acceptable to me because, you know, it is a campy musical. Musicals, mm-hmm. like, never have good acting. It's all about the musical number and how well they perform that. And as an indie, I don't think... Have we seen a musical indie before? Well, yeah, we have Patch Town.
Yeah,
Patch Town was a musical indie.
Dude, could you imagine watching the Jackie Goldfarb scene as a musical? That crazy lady who gives her money in her freaking limousine with the weird, like, butler guy. Jackie Goldfarb, that's one of the cooler scenes in the movie where she shows up and there's like a muscle man who's, like, naked and there's, like, mm-hmm. fire going on in the background. It's just, it's all psychedelic and very strange. Her just bursting out into a song and taking her on, like, a weird fame trip of, like, here's all the things that could happen if you take drugs and work with me.
It almost feels like this film was going to be a musical at one point in the draft, but they just, I mean, I get musicals are a lot of fucking work, but
it
would have really, I don't want to say fixed the movie, but it would have increased my enjoyment. 100%.
Here's what you do. You add music. You put in musical comedy. I think it really would have helped the movie. Because I was so jazzed, man. When we're in that airplane scene, I was like, let's go. Let's go. That was great. And then, yeah, almost nothing after that. There was one weird scene where it was like this, like...
Death at the very end of the movie. He's talking in poem.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess we return to being a musical now. Even though there's no fucking music.
It was kind of interesting. But even then, I'm just like, I don't know. I wish he was singing, and I wish there was a musical number accompanying with that. Okay, in the presser I got for this movie, a direct thing they say is, this film is described as David Lynch meets Dr. Seuss.
All right.
Damn it, agree or disagree?
Somewhat agree. Now, here's the deal. Dr. Seuss, absolutely not. You can't just put a Dr. Seuss-like book into your film and say that it's like Dr. Seuss. That does not compute. Some of the scenes did feel rather Lynchian, like in terms of just awkward characters and strange, you know, let's let the camera float strangely through the scene. Mm-hmm. There's a couple dream sequences that are like, you know, I'll say a little bit Lynchian. But to call it Dr. Seuss meets David Lynch was a
stretch,
extreme stretch, to a point where I'm like, no, we gotta get a different quote here.
Well, that's
it put so many expectations in my head.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I was about to get rid of those expectations whenever I saw it was going to be a musical. But whenever it turned out not to be a musical, I'm like, all right, bring on the Lynch. And the Lynch never came.
That's like saying the horror movie I'm going to watch is the next Hereditary or something like that. You're like, I don't know. You get big shoes to fill. Like you were saying about Westerns in a previous episode where you're like, you sit mm-hmm. down, you're like, this is going to be the best Western I've ever seen. Like that expectation is so high. That's how high it is if you tell me this is going to be like a David Lynch film. Now, okay, I will agree with you. There are some things that are psychedelic. Usually this is a note of mine, I've come to realize over doing this show a lot, is go further. Make it more weird. Make it more insane.
Yeah.
Get away from this, like, sitcom-y stuff you're trying to do with the band and make it serious and strange, and I want to not understand what's going on. Maybe have her overdose in the beginning, but, like, barely explain it. Like, we don't even know that we're in a psychedelic trip going through her memories, and it's like a life or death. We have to figure out, like, what's going on with her.
That would have made for a good film, but I don't want to get rid of that that first narrative of the childhood friend. Basically, what I'm trying to say is it's not one of those sell your soul to the devil so you can be famous. It's more like she's grappling with her guilt over her friend the entire film. And if they had hammered that home a little bit more, the narrative would have been stronger.
For sure. I mean, she basically gets her boyfriend killed, and she's grappling with the...
Wait. No, her boyfriend just fucking slips and falls and hits a pole.
Yeah, but it was from the drugs that she gave her him.
Gave her him?
Yeah, gave her him. Dan, times are changing. People can be her hims if they want. I did not misspeak.
You're right. You did not misspeak. Who are we to judge? They,
them, her, him. Figure it out, Dan. But yeah, it's that, and then we have the whole narrative with her best friend. Oh, I wanted to bring something else up, too. So the best friend has a nickname. It is Joni JonBenet Szymanski.
Like, isn't that the girl that, like, died or something?
Yes! JonBenet Ramsey, if you Google that person, is a little girl who was in, like, beauty pageants or something, and she got murdered. And it's an unsolved case. Why would you want to reference that? For your little girl who's your best friend. That's a very strange reference.
That was very strange to me.
Why would little kids know about that?
That girl who's good at singing actually is pretty good at singing, if that's her real voice.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, just find people who are good singers and not good actors. That's what I'm fucking doing.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, the campiness of how strange the acting is in this film would have been fixed with more music. Mm-hmm. Like, it would be socially acceptable or cinematically,
yeah.
Put that in quotes, cinematically acceptable. Hey, guys, I know I'm not the best podcaster in the world. You can write me a review. And, we'll, to each their own.
You say that as you breathe heavily into the mic. You're like, I'm not the best podcaster. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
My bad. Jeez.
Get roasted.
Now I'm all self-conscious about my fucking podcasting.
You should be. Get roasted. 2020. Dan, how did you feel about the orangutan joke, and how hard did you laugh and for how long?
Is that the one about, like, they compare a girl to an orangutan?
Yes, I don't understand the joke. Like, the person who wrote this, they're an alien. I don't get them at all. I don't understand any of the comedy in this movie.
What was the joke again?
It's, have you ever had a girl in your band or whatever? And the guy's like, oh yeah, we had a girl in our band one time. But it turns out it was just an orangutan. And that was met with dead silence. And then later, in the car, they're talking about something completely different. And the guy goes, hey, I think that orangutan joke should have probably gotten a bigger laugh than it did.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
And it was like, movie. Are we going to bring up the orangutan joke again? Are you serious?
And then complain about it to the audience?
One of the worst things I've ever heard. And then this whole, like, this running gag about not having a bass player, maybe because you're a musical guy, does this make sense to you, this the joke about, like, people coming up to that dude and be like, hey, you know, your band's so cool, it's cool that you guys don't have a bass player.
First of all, it's very erroneous because drummers are the ones that are hard to come by. Bassists, like, people give bassists a lot of shit, normally. Like, I'm a bassist in a band, but, like, the joke of... you know, a musical community is bassists don't matter compared to everything else. So to have everybody say the opposite, like, oh, where's your bassist? I guess they were kind of bringing reference to that. Like, bassists are important. I don't know. I did laugh at one scene. I will say, I don't know if I was supposed to laugh at it, but they go into like a diner or something and there's a bassist playing and she's just alone up on the stage and she's singing a song only with bass. And it's a terrible song, and I couldn't stop laughing at it.
Now, I feel like if she was a little more charismatic or, like, really, like, felt... like, that scene could have definitely worked.
Yeah.
With more with gravitas, is that the word? I was going to say bravitas. It's like bravado and gravitas mixed together. Okay, we'll sit that down on the table for now. Anyways, interesting scene. Then they were going to introduce her into the band, and then, of course, we get the, I don't want to work with a girl... And so, okay, the whole thing with this, why don't you have a bassist? I get it, movie. I get that the main character, KK, her boyfriend turns out to be the bassist that got killed. And that's why he's missing, because he's dead. And it's her, like, inner monologue guilt of, like, I inadvertently got my boyfriend killed, whatever. But the subplot of the girl not being able to come into the band because they just for some reason don't want girls and would rather have orangutans is strange, say the least. I don't get it. If anything, I would want, because then it's in direct conflict with what the film talks about, because there's another line. After the second orangutan reference, KK says, okay, we need to build our brand so we can make some money. And then another guy says, it would be a lot easier if we could just sell your hot ass. So, is he referring to, we should get you on stage and you should dance around for us like a go-go girl or whatever? Or is he referring to, let's sell your body
it's definitely as a prostitute? It's definitely sex work, 100%.
And what a thing to say to your band manager.
Seriously.
What the fuck? And there's lines like this in this movie that are so tone deaf that I don't understand it. They're not jokes. They're just strange.
Again, Jared, I have to reiterate here. Like, you can keep the fucking dialogue. You can keep everything in the movie. Just add musical numbers and it will fix itself.
Mm-hmm. Now, Dan, do you want to talk about the two star cameos we have in this movie?
Oh, I don't know the first one, but you have Eric Robertson, who hosts a TV show. Or no, not Robertson. Eric Roberts, excuse me.
Yeah, Eric Roberts. So he does this cable access TV show. And when they started, because they film it like it looks like an old cable access thing, that effect was actually really good.
Yeah, like it's at Daytona College, like back in the 90s.
Mm-hmm. It actually looked really cool. I was like, I kind of wish the whole movie was filmed like this. I don't like the crisp digital look normally.
But then they had a really cool transition in that scene where, like, she goes back to her hospital bed.
Yeah. And the nurse shows up.
Yeah. This film does some things right. Like, it's competently put together. There's just, it's lacking in so many areas.
The visuals and the direction, editing, creating the film in general, I think they did a really great job.
Yeah.
It's just the comedy is what really killed it for me. I really wish it was gone. And then we have Robert Picardo, hopefully I'm saying his last name right, from Star Trek, Voyager, and all the other Star Trek from Star Trek. And he was the fundraiser guy. They just put a wig on him. Yeah. And he's like, let's do a fundraiser. And them getting upset that they weren't going to get paid for a fundraiser gig. And he's like, well, you'll get exposure. And he's like, exposure can't feed me, man. And I'm like, this guy is the biggest tool. Why did they make me hate the drummer so much? I'm sure he's a nice guy in person, but man, his character is the worst. Okay, Dan, was there another scene you wanted to talk about?
Wanting it to be a musical number aside, I really like the scene with Death, or who might be Death. He's just this dude that she meets outside, and he's, like, in the striped shirt, and he just talks in riddles to her, but, like, they're poems. And the poem that he was saying was actually, it was really well done, really well written. And he's only in the movie for, like, two and a half minutes.
Well, he sprinkled in, like, he was trying to join the band and they wouldn't let him.
Yeah.
So he was kind of in there sporadically, but what could have been cool screen time
is if he was like the counter person to the nurse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like
the
nurse is trying to get her to stay alive and then this guy's trying to get her to go away.
Oh my gosh, that would have been so good. Like little devil, little angel on your shoulders. Yeah that would have been great. Dan, the theme, or the message, I would say. What do you think is the message of this movie?
Because it just feels like there's so many holes in the theme. Like, it's so hard to ascertain what the theme actually is.
What I got from it is being famous and having money is evil, pretty much. Mm-hmm. And joining a rock band will kill people because you're going to do drugs and really bad things are going to happen. So never join a rock band.
See, I
never try to be famous or get money.
That's nowhere near where I think the theme is.
But, like, there are specific scenes, like the scene where they're all in a limo with Jackie Goldfarb, the big rich entrepreneur lady, and she's like, do you guys want to do a business deal with me or not? And she's like, yeah, let's do it. And then the drummer's like, I don't know, man. We don't need to do this. Like, if we get famous and blah, 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 it's going to be bad. And I'm like, what? Why would you guys not want to get rich and famous? I don't understand.
Okay, so it's almost like nothing is ever as it seems. Like, you know, you have the girl's friend who goes off to New York at a very young age, and she's jealous and she's upset that she has to lose a friend in the process. Mm-hmm. But whenever she, because what the little girl says to her that day where she goes to New York is like, you're going to have to be famous to come meet me.
Mm.
But that's what spirals her into this wanting to be famous mentality. So it's almost like the film is trying to tell you to never let go of what you had, or else you're, it's almost the same thing of Cats in the Cradle and Silver Spoon. You watch your kid grow up. That's a bad example. I'm lost.
You know we'll have a good time then. Now the podcast is over. Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening. We're not going to do recommendations.
We're not even going to tell you what the theme is. You figure it out for yourself.
Yeah. No recommendations this week. Sorry. We're really rushed today. But we do love you all, and we appreciate you. And Dan, could you give us a little plug?
Yes, you can find us on Twitter at Indie Film Pod. You can find us on Instagram. There's pictures there. Indie Film Review Pod. You can email us at theindiefilmreview@gmail.com.
Nice one, buddy. Necropodicon.com is our hosted site, podcast network that we work with. They're really cool. Please go check them out. Go to the website and click on the link to the Discord and you can come talk to us. Woo! A lot of other really good podcasts on there. So necropodicon.com, check them out, please. You will not be disappointed. They're way better than our podcast. Like, at least three times better, most of them.
But we review your movies.
That's right. That's right. Okay. Thank you again. Dan, you have the final word.
You know, this one time I was in a band with a girl, but she turned out to be an orangutan. So you know what I did? You know what I did? I married her. And I come to find out her name is Herhim, and she bore five children with me that looked strikingly like little orangutans.